Hello, welcome to Who is in the Garden here on Carib Voice Radio. It's time to take a moment to pause, breathe, and refresh with Adeayo. So why don't you take a seat, have a drink before you continue on life's journey. Hello, hello, hello. How are you? What has this week been like for you? What's been happening in your garden? Have you made adjustments? Have you done some pruning? Have you done some outright uprooting and weeding? Whatever the case may have been in your garden right now, I hope it's been able to make you better and make life look much better, much positive for you. And as always, I've come with a word of encouragement, and I know that the word may be for different people in different ways. It may come out in different ways. It may come out in different dimensions, and I hope it just is able to meet you at the point where it matters most to you. Of course, my name is Adeayo. I am the King's Daughter, and that name has come to resonate so much with me and to even those around me who begin to understand why I refer to myself in that manner. But enough of me today. I just sense that there's somebody or a couple of people who feel that life has left them at the backside of the desert and nothing seems to be happening with them, to them, for them anymore. Everybody seems to be enjoying life. Everybody seems to be going on a roller coaster. Everybody seems to be happening right now, to be woke, to be on the cutting edge, to be, you know, making their moves and making their mark. And you just seem to be stuck and lost, and it seems like you are forgotten somewhere. But I'm here to remind you of a particular person by the name of David, who, the last of 8 sons, he was the one that was tending to sheep. He was the one that was sent away to stay in the desert, stay in the wilderness, and tend to sheep, tend to stubborn, no, not really stubborn, but stupid, mindless animals. Like he was a runt of the pack and was given the least important, so to speak, assignment. And he was right there, day in, day out, sometimes days on end, just tending to sheep, but right there in the midst of what seemed like a forgotten situation, God was preparing a king. Yes, in the midst of what seemed like a very hopeless and forgotten and lost situation, God was preparing one of the best kings that Israel ever had, because the Bible says that God referred to David as a man after his own heart. That's a different story entirely, a different dimension and paradigm to look at, a different angle to look at some other time. But I want to talk to you today, to that person who, like I have, felt at many times forgotten, lost, abandoned, like I wasn't no more in the agenda of God, and it seemed like God had forgotten me somewhere and I didn't matter anymore. But now I begin to see that in the midst of that seeming desert and seeming wilderness, God was raising a lioness. God was raising a giant. God was raising someone who could look the enemy in the face, like Goliath, and say, "Who are you? How dare you speak against my God? How dare you speak against the children of God?" Like that. You see, David was learning skills. David was learning leadership. David was learning war. He said that he said you've taught my hands to war. You see, David was learning so much. David was learning how to defend his sheep. David was learning how to protect his sheep. David was learning how to stay by himself. David was learning so many things while there in the wilderness. He was building up his CV. He was building up his resume in the desert, in the wilderness, with sheep. And just at the right time, when preparation met opportunity, or should I say, when opportunity met preparation, David was able to say, I know that with God I can do this. I know, because when I was tending my father's sheep, I killed a bear, I killed a lion with my bare hands. What are you going through right now? What are the circumstances and situations in which you are hedged in? What are the circumstances and situations in which you seem to be lost and forgotten in? I want you to take attention. I want to pay critical, sound attention to those things, because God is teaching you. God is preparing your hands for war. God is teaching you. He's honing those skills. He's working on you, because a time will come when, and I say that with all confidence, a time will come when everything that you have been exposed to will begin to showcase, will begin to make sense, will begin to come into play. I remember as a child, for fun, my dad would always tell us, but it wasn't for fun. He didn't hire a secretary at home, so, because he had a clinic that was running at the other end of the house, and he would task my older sister and I with the responsibility of picking up calls. And my sister was six and a half years older than I am, and she was out of the house much earlier when she went off to boarding school, and I was at home, so I was sat on the bus of picking those calls. You see, so, and I would remember clearly the phone being, and there was a notebook by the side there, and I would have to speak very professionally, but I was a child, and I would, you know, rant it up, hello, good evening, welcome to Health and Sleep. And I'll just go ahead and I'll say that, and I'll take his name, so I can say it again, and I'll take his name, and I'll write the details, and when my dad comes, he will look at it, and I'll tell him, okay, this person called, what this person said. Now, I was a child, and I was being prepared for something that I will do over 30 years later, because I had to work with someone, two different people, and I had to be one. I was a customer care representative, customer relationships manager for a beauty establishment in Abuja, and then I became an executive assistant for a businessman, politician, also in Abuja. And one day it just clicked. Oh my goodness. I'm picking people's calls now, but I started that as a child. God had prepared me for it. He had honed those skills. He had prepped me ahead of time. How? Through my dad. Do you see? So I don't know what it is or where you are that seems right now you are forgotten, you're not being paid, you're going in there, you're giving in your time, you're giving in your efforts, and it seems like nothing is happening. Trust me, it's going to make sense. When I was in the city of Jos, I started, you know, talking silently. I'd been in choir as a child, as a teenager. I was always very shy to talk. And I remember getting to the city of Jos. I was married then. And I remember my mama then saying, she was trying to get my attention as well as getting my attention. I don't know why she did that. She just went, Pastor is a pastor. This and that she's doing. And I'm like, huh? And she would give all of us leaders under her 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, and say, come and talk 5 minutes, and you must make sense in 5 minutes. You know, after a while, I began to realize that I started getting better. I started getting better, and then she would speak, and I would listen. Well, those 5 minutes have turned into 15 minutes, have turned into 30 minutes, have turned into 1 hour of teaching, and hopefully by God's grace, making sense. I used to write as a child. When I was left alone at home, I would write by myself. I started liking to stay on my own. You know, I would rather stay in my house, on my bed, if I can, throughout the day, 24 hours, you know, 7 days a week, and just read, write, think, meditate. And it has helped me because it helps me to self-reflect. You see, where are you right now? David was thrown into the wilderness, but David made the most of it. Are you making the most of where you are right now? Because where you are right now, God is preparing you for rulership. Look at Joseph. Joseph started having dreams as a child. Unfortunately for him, he didn't know how to self-regulate, know when to talk and not when to talk. So everything he saw, he just expressed. And that landed him in trouble. But that was the beginning of a journey. Because see, where God needed him was not there. God needed him in Egypt ahead of time for an entire nation. Do you see? God put David in the wilderness to tend sheep because he was teaching David what it was going to be like to raise a people, to shepherd a people, to rule over a people, to defend a people, to fight for a people. And that's exactly what David did. He fought Goliath because he told Goliath, "Who are you to talk trash against God and the people of God?" Do you see that? And then he ruled Israel 40 years properly. No one is perfect. So don't go picking out his faults and his errors. No one is perfect. He ruled Israel. I remember the time he made that mistake. And the angel of God was going around killing everybody. He told God, he said, "Let it fall on me. Leave the people. They did nothing wrong." You see, that was a man that had understood what had happened in his days in the wilderness tending sheep. Let's go back to Joseph. Joseph was right there in Potiphar's house. And then, you know, all that. And then he went into prison. But you see, Joseph still had the gift of revelation, of dreams. And God spoke to him. And those same dreams he began to use. But he kept his heart right. How do we know he kept his heart right? How do we know he had the proper perspective? Because when his brothers had eventually shown up and his father had passed, he said, "Don't be afraid. I'm not mad at you. What you thought was for evil, God turned it around. He planned it ahead. He sent me ahead of time so that I could do stuff, so I could preserve not just you, but the entire tribe of Israel." Why do you think that where you are at is happenstance? It's not. It's a carefully calculated, orchestrated move of God to take you from point A to point B, because it's not just about you, it's about the millions of people, the hundreds of people that need to be blessed, need to be preserved, need to be protected, need to be saved by the things you've gone through. You see, the agenda of God, so to speak, and one of the angles of the agenda of God is, we say save to serve, but it's comfort to be comforted. You see, you're trained to train. You're saved to save. Yes. You're healed to heal. You're helped to help. The same way God was raising a king by him tending to sheep, the same way God was raising a prime minister through Joseph, is the same way God is raising you. He hasn't forgotten about you. He knows you are there. Look at the story of the people, of the disciples. Jesus told them, go ahead of me into town. And they needed to go by boat. And he said that he would come to meet them. He went to pray. Now, look at that scenario very well. He went to pray. And from the mountain, he was seeing them going through that storm of life. Bible says he saw them. He was at the other side. They were right smack in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, of the Lake of Galilee. I think it was the Sea of Galilee. And he saw them as they were struggling against the wind. God, Jesus, saw them. What makes you think that Jesus cannot see you? I'm here to tell you that he can see you. He's mindful of you. But he's not going to bring you out of the fire. Because another way you need to look at Jesus, another dimension of God, is that he is the potter and you are the clay. Unfortunately, being the clay, you are also a living sacrifice, meaning you are alive and meaning that you have a way of jumping out of the fire. Yeah, we all do that. We all do that. But he sees you. He knows you are alone. He knows you are all by yourself. He knows you wish that all things were different. He knows you're hungry. He knows you're tired, just like I am right now. He knows you're frustrated. He knows you're overwhelmed. He knows that traumatic incident has drained you, and now your response is trauma. He knows. He was there when you were being molested. Yes. He was there when you were being sexually abused. He sees everything. He knows everything. He was there. But he's asking you today, can you have faith? Can you have faith in me? I see you. I see your pain. I am touched by your hurt. I am touched by your tears. I am touched. I know what it feels like for you to be stripped off your clothes, for you to be invaded. I know what it feels like for you to be bitten, for you to be harassed, for you to be molested. I know what it feels like. Have you imagined him going to the cross, his clothes stripped off? He was bruised. He was violated. Can you imagine? He knows, he sees, but it's a process. Jesus was being violated, he was being beaten, he was being crushed, but God stood in heaven and watched. God stood in heaven, sat in heaven, and watched. He watched how his only begotten son was being harassed, molested, invaded, stripped, beaten, pierced, crushed. But he watched and did nothing because he knew that he wasn't just preparing. He knew that he wasn't just allowing this to happen. He was preparing a savior. He was preparing a healer. He was preparing a comforter. He was preparing a king. What makes you think that God has forgotten you where you are? He hasn't. What makes you think that God has abandoned you where you are? He hasn't. Don't lose faith. He sees you. And that which he has said he will do in your life, he will do it. He will bring it to pass. It may take a while because he has to shift people, and you know people are stubborn, and you know God doesn't force people. He's going to have to shift people. He's going to have to rearrange seasons. But his word over your life will come to pass if you don't give up. I've seen people, sadly, I've seen people give up on God's destiny and agenda for their life because it was too difficult to process. And I keep saying, just imagine Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane saying, I'm done, Lord. I'm done. I can't do it. Just imagine. The devil would have had a field day and all of us would be doomed. But after crying, after the anguish, after the tears of blood, he said, you know what? Not my will, but yours be done. Just imagine what Mary went through. Getting pregnant with no man, but then telling her baby boo that she was pregnant. Just imagine the trauma, the emotional stress she was ready to go through. But she said, be it unto me according to your word. Can you come to this point where, like Mary, you can say, be it unto me according to your word? Can you come to the point where, like Jesus, you say, I wish this cup could pass over me, but not my will, Lord. Let your will be done. I know it's tough. Mary said, I have no man. How will this be? I have no man. She was even trying to strategize with God. Like she was in on the plan already from the get-go. How will it be, Lord? I got no man. And he said, don't worry. I don't need a man. The Holy Ghost will come upon you. You see, I need to get to the point where you tell the Lord, I have no man. How are we going to do this? And I'm telling you, it's going to be the same response. Nah, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And this thing that you are carrying, daughter of God, son of God, there's a thing that you are carrying, and it is holy. There is something that you are carrying. There's a project you are carrying, and it is holy. Do not run away from the presence of the Holy Ghost, because the holiness and the purity of the seed you carry is dependent on the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost. I pray for strength for you. I pray for strength for you not to give up. I pray for grace for you to understand that your Father in heaven has not forgotten about you. That your Father in heaven is mindful of you. And there's a seed you are carrying. And that seed has to grow under the shadow of the Holy Ghost. Don't step out. Don't abort this baby. Don't abort God's agenda. Don't step out of the fire. It's hot. I know. You want a man to hold you. Don't step out of the fire. Because when he brings the king to you, you need to be ready. Don't step out of the fire. I know that pregnancy was not planned for. but that could just be the savior of your generation. Don't step out of the fire. I know you've made mistakes. Don't step out of the fire. Don't step out of the shadow of the Holy Ghost, because in him he's cooking. He's working in you both to will and to do according to the good pleasure of God. I know it's tough. I know you're broke and you need money and you're tempted to go back to Egypt and to misbehave. Don't. He's the God who can command men to sustain you. He's a God who can cause water to come out of the rock. Don't give up. Don't follow the world system. Don't follow this woke system who is offering, that is offering their children on the platter of demonic altars. Don't. Don't. The Bible transcends all generations and all times. The teachings and the precepts and the laws of God are not generationally conditional. No, it supersedes time. Thou shalt not kill supersedes whether you are Gen Z, Gen Alpha, Millennial. Thou shalt not commit adultery supersedes whether you are Gen Z, whether you are Gen Alpha, whether you are a Millennial or Gen X. It's not conditional. Because God is the Alpha and He is the Omega. When He says something, He means it. He has put you in that situation. And yes, you may have walked into the wilderness of your own accord by your bad decisions. You can call Him right now in the wilderness. After all, Moses killed a man and fled into the wilderness. But God met him there. Moses killed a man and ran away into the wilderness. But God met him there. God got his attention by the burning bush. Jesus, after fasting and praying for 40 days, God led him into the wilderness. The devil came there to meet him. But God met him there. So it doesn't matter whether you went to the wilderness yourself or whether the Holy Spirit led you there. Don't run out until God calls your name. Don't step out. Don't abort the agenda of God. God hasn't forgotten you. He has you where He wants you. And He's working in you. He's raising a king. He's raising a lion. He's raising a savior for that generation. He's raising an apostle. He's raising a prophet. He's raising a teacher, an administrator. He's raising a comforter. Don't let go. Don't step out. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten you. I want you to sit down with God this week and just talk to Him. Like, it's not rocket science. Just talk to Him. Say, Father, I'm tired. I'm tired, but I know that You are here. Give me grace. Give me strength. Help my unbelief. Strengthen me in my inner man. Make it clear to me why I'm here. Show me next steps. And the Holy Spirit will breathe on you. It may look like nothing is happening, but stick to it. He will answer. He will respond. I love you. I wish I could give you a hug. I love you. But you see, God loves you more. And He wants you. He wants you. He wants you for Himself. And so He's telling me to tell you today. He hasn't forgotten about you. He's preparing greatness in you. Till I see you next week. Stay blessed. Stay lifted.